Blind Cool Tech, 112, September 14, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. I hope you'll join Karen, Julia, and I for a carriage ride through historic West End of Dallas, Texas.
So did y'all want to do that little carriage ride thing with me or not?
Sure.
Okay.
Are you up for it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you, Julia?
Yeah. What are we talking about?
The carriage ride?
Sure. What are we going to do?
It's still pretty early, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock. Especially with this balmy breeze.
Yeah.
What was that horse's name? Susie?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. It's something with an S. Yeah.
Might have been Susie. She didn't seem too concerned with Jake, did she?
No, he was sniffing her back leg, and I was watching her close because I thought, oh my God, that'd be horrible if she kicked. She didn't care.
The ones in Louisville carry a dog on the carriage with them.
Oh, really?
Drivers do, yeah.
Aw, like the Budweiser horses.
That's Susie.
You hear those grackles?
Yeah, I was trying to remember what the name of those birds were.
You walk under them and they scream.
And they're big black birds, aren't they?
Oh, or, yeah.
Sure, tell us about them.
Well, we have a ride that goes up around Lehman Plaza over at Courthouse and JFK Memorial.
Uh-huh.
It's about 20 minutes long. It's 35 for the carriage. We have one that goes to the downtown area, a little longer, a little quieter, goes around Fountain Place, Lincoln Plaza, the Whale Mural. It's 45. We do 40-minute tours either deeper into the historical area or deeper into the downtown area, the Arts District and such, that are 40 minutes long, and they're 65. If you want to go for an hour, we can go just about anywhere, and it is 100.
Got a plane on back.
That poor horse will be wore out then.
Well, you know, if I had Heidi instead of Bob, we'd do it. But Bob moves a little bit slower than Heidi, so I'm thinking it would be time for y'all to get up and go to work by the time we got there.
You don't take him down I-75, huh?
No, he doesn't move quite fast enough for that.
Hey, would it be okay if we recorded this tour?
Sure.
We're going to post it on a podcast on the internet?
Sure.
Is that okay?
That would be fine.
Okay. Which one do y'all want to do?
I kind of like the first one. It's shorter and historical.
Yeah.
Does that sound good to you?
And Dealey Plaza.
If you like that one, we do have a slightly longer version that goes just a little bit farther in that direction that is 45. So okay. We can do a 35 historical, a 45, or a 65.
Okay. Can we decide, like, after we get going and everything? Or?
Right. When I get to the point of we need to decide, I'll be sure and let you know.
Okay. All right.
That sounds good.
That'd
thanks.
Be great. Yeah. Okay.
Who's your friend?
That's Jake.
Hello, Jake.
Oh, he looked up at you. How sweet.
And this is Bob you got pulling us here?
This is Bob. Okay. Bob is American Spotted Draft Horse. This particular breed is intended to look like an old cowpony.
Oh.
They are usually white with brown or black patches, and he looks long like a quarter horse does, rather than high-headed like some of the English-type horses do.
Okay.
Well, he's definitely got the thick legs.
Right, yeah. He looks like an old cow pony till you walk up to him and can't see over his back.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll get this, Lair.
Oh, I got it, Kat. Okay. Well, if you're getting it, let's do the long one.
An hour, right?
Let's go to Texarkana.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably be a little trick. Did you want to get way to get in for you?
Yeah, after you, Julia. Jake's not going to bother Bob any, is he?
No, he's not going to bother. Okay, the step up is about a foot wide,
okay.
And 8 inches deep.
Come on, Jake.
Jake and Larry.
Go ahead.
Get
Get in there. Come on. There you go. Fine. Good boy. All right, yeah. Feels good in here.
He says it beats an airplane.
Long as we don't go off the ground, we'll be...
Okay, since I have people sitting on both sides, I'm going to use the directions on my right and my left.
That's good. Okay.
Before we get started...
Yes.
You take credit cards?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thanks. Everybody takes credit cards. Even our cab driver today.
Wow. Oftentimes I just run them on the carriage, but I didn't bring that stuff.
So you got till tomorrow to get the money in the bank here.
Let's go for a walk.
Lights too?
Yep. Like little white Christmas lights.
When I was growing up, we called them twinklies because Christmas lights were bulb size.
Yeah.
And these were so much smaller. We called them twinklies. The building over here on my right, the Westin Marketplace. But it's in its original incarnation, it was the Sunshine Cookie and Cracker Factory.
You were right.
As we get a little farther away from it, if you look up on the roof, you'll see three large canisters decorated with neon lights. They, in fact, are refrigeration units, condenser units. Like, have you ever pulled out your refrigerator and down at the bottom there's a bottle?
Yeah.
Okay. What's up on top of there are what's in that bottle? And you have to remember that the Sunshine Cookie and Crack Factory decided they needed refrigeration keep their butter, eggs, and milk fresh right about the time refrigeration was invented.
Oh, wow.
At least invented beyond the icebox state.
Yeah.
And you know, when a science is new, it tends to take very large components to make it work. So when they were getting ready to renovate that building, they decided that they needed to take those condenser units down. When they got up there, they found out what wasn't obvious from down below, and that is that those condenser units are about as wide as a two-lane street.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
They weigh a little bit more than a ton apiece, and they have no convenient handholds.
I wonder how they got them up there in the first place.
You can see that from the interstate, and that's how you know you're at West End.
That's
I never knew that's what that was.
That's what...
I'll be darned.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they got them up there in the first place, but they decided that, you know, if they tried to take them down and something slipped, they might not have a building left to renovate. So they checked the platform that they're sitting on out, discovered it was still quite sturdy, and they decorated them and left them up there.
Mm. I mean, it's a good landmark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how tall are they? Say they're as wide as a two-lane street. How tall?
It takes, let's see, there are ladders going up the side. Rungs are probably about 9 inches apart. And there are 15 rungs at the top.
And when was that built?
Right around 1900.
Hmm.
1890 to 1900, in that era. Now, the building on my right is the reason that all of these brick buildings are on my left. The building on my right is the freight station. And up until the mid-1950s, everything that required shipping, whether it be in or out, came by train. Because in order for trucks to travel as fast as a train, they needed good roads. And until Eisenhower ordered the interstate highway system in the 50s, we didn't really have good roads for that. So everything came and went on the train, and the way you kept your shipping costs down was to have your business as close to the freight station as possible. You can see that this building is not very wide. The bays on that side were to back trucks or wagons up to. And you'll see when we get past here, there are similar bays on this side, which would allow them to open up and unload onto the train. The area we're crossing right now used to be covered in railroad tracks from the edge of that building all the way out to the river,
wow,
which is about a quarter of a mile.
Whoa.
One of the things that you may notice about the buildings in the West End area is that they're all made out of red brick. There's a reason for that. Dallas was settled in the 1840s. And in the 1840s, most everyone heated their house with open flame. They lit their house with an open flame. And they also cooked over an open flame. When Dallas was chosen, or this was chosen as the site of Dallas, one of the things that made immediately accessible were trees. We're on a river, and you know, in Texas, that's where trees grow. So everybody built with wood. When you get that many fires surrounded by that much wood, you occasionally have accidents. Dallas actually had a series of Chicago-style fires where pretty much everything was wiped out. After the worst fire, which was around 1890, the then leading business person and entrepreneur, a woman named Mrs. Cockle, got the business owners together, and she said, "You know, fellas, we have two brickmakers in this town. If we patronize them for our building supplies, we probably could get rid of this problem we've been having with fire." And since she held the loan note on most of their businesses, naturally enough, she got what she wanted. And we have red brick buildings, and you know, there's not been a city sweeping fire since.
Smart woman.
Now, what's Dallas named for? Is that
Dallas
a person?
Dallas is named for an admiral in the War of 1812. Bob Stepp.
Oh, Bob's a good boy.
This train track bed that we are crossing over was part of Dallas's economic base. And Dallas was settled in 1842 by John Neely Bryan. He chose this particular area, and by the way, we are traveling within the original town site here. He chose this particular area because it was the only viable ford for the Trinity River for about 100 miles around. He wanted to make Dallas a river town, running boats up and down the Trinity River between here and the Gulf of Mexico. They did actually get a riverboat all the way up here. The Trinity is marginally navigable. It took them a year to get that boat up. So he decided he needed a different economic base for this town. At that time, we were a republic, so we went to the government of the Republic of Texas, and he said, "You know what, I understand that y'all are putting in a north-south railroad, one that goes from the Texas-Mexico border all the way up deep into the Great Plains. What would it take for you to run that railroad through my town?" Well, what it took was a boatload of land, a little bit much. And they got their north-south railroad. About 18 months later, we were a state, and Brian went to the government of the United States and said, "I understand that y'all are building a southern version of that transcontinental railroad y'all have up north. What would it take for you to run that through my town?" This time took a boatload of money and a little bit of land. But that track pad that we went over is that East-West Railroad.
Oh, I'll be darned.
And Dallas's economic base was established because it was the only place between St. Louis and California where an East-West Intercontinental Railroad met a North-South Railroad that went deep into the plains and down into Mexico. And that made it excellent for doing business wherever in the country or with Mexico that you wanted to do it.
Huh.
Now, the reason we stopped here is the building catty corner across the street is the old Texas School Book Depository. It is the building Lee Harvey Oswald entered in November of 1963. He went up to the sixth floor, which is not the top floor, but one down. And he went to the window that's right there at the corner. Notice that most of the windows are arched and there's a square one at this corner. That's the window he shot from. He shot down the street that's going crosswise behind us. And it is down the street because that street actually drops into where the Trendy River used to run. The river has been moved. About two-thirds of the way down the hill, before you get to the underpass that's at the bottom of the hill, is where the motorcade had reached when Kennedy was shot. Now, if you'll look over there, you'll see a white building and a white fence with what looks like a privet hedge in front of it. Mm-hmm. That area right behind there is the area known as the Grassy Knoll. Many people think that there was another shooter there. In all probability, there was, but not according to the Warren Commission. One of the interesting facts that the Warren Commission simply did not address is that Main Street, which is the next cross street we'll come to, was the original motorcade route. They were to come to Main Street in Houston. Houston is the street we're on now. And go straight out. An hour and a half before they got to that point, they changed the motorcade route so that they turned right, came down this one block of Houston, and then turned down Elm. And as you can see from here, had the motorcade gone straight down Main Street, someone placed in this building could not have hit the motorcade. At least not with the rifle that was up there.
Interesting. Plus, isn't that a live oak? I mean, they're fully in bloom in November, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of hard to see straight through that tree, wouldn't it?
Actually, there is enough altitude.
Is there?
That you can see over the trees.
Bob, plus, what was that tree 30 years ago, too?
Well,
there, or 40 years ago?
Oh, no, they grow fast, and they live a long time. So.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, you got a good point. But
right.
I think
it's probably the same trees, and they probably have not grown up nearly as much as out. Now, we're driving alongside of Dealey Plaza. It includes the buildings on the far side. If you look way over there, you can see some similar buildings way on the other side, plus these two blocks here. Dealey Plaza is a park that was given, established and named in honor of a man named George Bannerman Dealey. Now, Mr. Dealey was the founding publisher of what is now the Dallas Morning News, but that's not why he has a park. The reason he has a park and the reason that it is here is that in the 1930s, he traveled to Amsterdam, which is one of Europe's canal cities, and learned how they use dikes and levees to control water, brought that information back here, and developed the levee system they used to move the Trendy River from this low area right there to the other side of the jail, which is about a mile west of here. Trendy River is one of those rivers that does not react well to being contained. It floods all the time. Look at it with tears in your eyes and it will flood. That's just all it takes. The city fathers were so happy to get that river away from downtown so it would cease to flood downtown that in the 1930s, which you'll remember was Dust Bowl era in this time, they put this park in and they kept it watered and green and growing just to thank the man who figured out how to move that dadgum river away from downtown. Okay, at this point, this is where we decide. Do we do a 35 or a longer?
Whoa. What about you? What do y'all want to do?
I'm up for a longer if y'all are.
Okay.
Are you awake?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you've got a long day tomorrow.
I'm just quiet.
I'll let you know when we get to the next decision point.
Do we need to sing to you, Julia?
We know I should sing.
The castle-looking structure that we just passed is the old red courthouse. you look up on top, you can see a gargoyle right up there on the corner.
I'll be darned.
There are actually four of them, one on each corner. Now, that is actually the fifth courthouse built on that site. Numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4, and please bear in mind, 4 was built out of stone, all burned down. So, naturally enough, when they built this one, they had a little bit of trepidation about how long it would last. But they decided to go ahead and build it there. They built it out of stone. The dark stone at the bottom is blue granite from Arkansas. The stone above is red Texas Pecos sandstone. They patterned it after a castle in France, and they put gargoyles on the top to protect it. Because according to European tradition, gargoyles protect buildings from evil. Since that building was finished in 1896, it has never had a fire. It has never been flooded. And it's never needed any structural work on the foundation, the walls, or the roof. Every once in a while, they check the interior like they're doing now, and they check those areas out. They have never needed work other than cleaning. They paid for the gargoyles, they got their money for it.
I'm getting me a gargoyle for my house.
That's right. I could use that kind of homeowner's insurance. The building here on my left is the Hotel Lawrence. As a hotel, it has been under several different managements, but it is the longest continuously operating hotel in the state of Texas. It has that distinction because catty corner across the street over here is the passenger rail station. And of course, the hotel that's within walking distance of that gets the most business. This particular passenger rail station, well, passenger rail has always been at this site. But this particular station was put up in the 20s. And up through the end of the 50s, the end of the early 60s, that Dallas actually needed a train station that was a block long and half a block wide like this one is. And it is a beautiful place, especially inside. Chandeliers, big vaulting ceilings, all sorts of things. Nowadays, it's mostly used for parties, receptions, meetings, things like that. But it is still a passenger rail station. Dart Rail uses it. Trinity Rail that runs between here and Fort Worth uses it. And Amtrak uses it. And as you can tell, the buses stop out front.
That makes sense.
Across the street on my left, there's a park. They took the entire block, and they've been working on the fountain recently, so it's not running. But there's a huge fountain in the middle, and trees all around the outside, and it is actually part of the waiting room for the train station. And that's because when the train station was built, air conditioning in a building was open windows, top and bottom, and ceiling fans. And as you know, having been through a hot Texas day today, lots of times that just isn't very comfortable. And it is often more comfortable to be outside under shade trees, especially if there's water nearby. And so they created the park for people to wait in for passengers to arrive or for trains to arrive. It has a whole lot less benches now than it used to, but it's the outdoor waiting room. On my right is the Dallas Morning News. It has a wonderful engraving over the doors that says, build the news upon the rock of truth and righteousness. Conduct it always on the lines of fairness and integrity. Acknowledge the right of people to get from the newspaper both sides of every important question. I don't think that they blush anymore when they walk under that, but I will.
I was going to say something about that, but...
Down the street next to the building, at the very end, you see PNC, that's street here on this corner is WFAA Channel 8. All three communications agencies are owned by the people who own this building over here on my left, the Belo family. Of course, they're a corporation now, but Belo is a very, very old Dallas family. And their original family mansion is on Ross Street at Olive. I think it's now the Dallas Law Society, but it's a lovely, lovely mansion. At this corner, we can turn left and head back toward the west end, or we can go straight and do a 65.
Yeah, well, I'm for the left, too.
Turn left, and when the light turns, and left. Right over the top of the trees, you can see a red neon Pegasus. You see it over here?
Oh, yeah.
That is on top of the Magnolia Building. The Magnolia Building was built by Magnolia Oil. And south of Washington, D.C. Wow. It stayed the tallest building in this time, well into this town, well into the 60s. And before the days of much taller buildings and a great deal more light pollution, you can see the glow off that red horn. For 75 miles around Dallas, you literally could cross the Oklahoma state line and see a red glow on the southern horizon.
Oh,
wow.
I mean, you couldn't tell what it was. You couldn't define the horns or anything, but you could see the glow.
Wow.
It just shows you how much light pollution has created visibility problems. Now you see kind of a white glow. Yeah. But that horse is the emblem of Mobil Oil, who bought out Magnolia Oil and inherited the building. When the Mobil Oil outgrew that building, they decided to build them another up on North 35. And so, naturally enough, as they were taking all their stuff out of the building, they took the Pegasus off the top. Citizens of Dallas said, "No, you can't do that. We realize you think you own that, but that belongs to Dallas. That's been part of the Dallas skyline for 45, 50 years. And you have to leave it there." After a little negotiation, Mobil did donate it to the city of Dallas, did put it back up on top of the building. And there it is to this day, although nowadays you have to be in just the right place to be able to see it. Used to be when you look toward downtown Dallas, you saw the Southwestern Life Building, which is a blocky building with a bit of a spire and a clock on each face, and you saw the Pegasus. One of the things that you'll notice looking at the skyline of Dallas now is that none of the buildings look alike. Have you ever seen the skyline of Houston? It's a whole bunch of glass boxes. Dallas decided it didn't want a skyline like that. So if you want to put up a tall building in Dallas, you have to present an architect's plan for a building that doesn't look like any building that's already here.
Oh my gosh.
Hmm. You know, which is not to say it can't be tall and rectangular. Many of them are. But you'll notice some have pillars all the way down. This one with the green on it is a glass building that creates reflections. There's one with the half oval right up there at the top. There's another one that has an opening through the middle of the top of the building. All sorts of different buildings. Of course, the other thing is, if you want to build in downtown Dallas, you have to have a place to put the building. And you can't just pull down an old building because you want that site. Dallas has decided that its old buildings are worth preserving,
and they will go out of their way to look for someone who knows how to use a particular building, has a need for a particular building, before they will sell a building to be demolished or allow a building to be sold. The building here on my right is the Missouri-Kansas-Texas Railway Building. It was built in Victorian times, as you can tell by all of the stonework that's up at the top. Very ornate. It would probably cost as much to build this little bitty six-story building with all of the stonework and carving work and interior work that's in it as it did to build that tall green building that's 73 stories tall and with all the
stairs. Trying to get to 67 south.
I don't know how. I'm so sorry. But this big,
oh, really?
This big tall building is the Bank of America Tower. 73 stories tall. Makes it the tallest building in this area of Texas. The third tallest in the state. The other three in Houston. And because it is 73 stories tall, that makes it what they call a super tall. When you put up a super tall building, you usually put it up next to a bunch of other super tall buildings, and they protect each other from the wind. Well, Dallas has told people who put up this building that they were not going to allow a bunch of super tall, so they had to find a different way for this particular building to deal with the wind. And what they decided to do was to build it with earthquake technology, so that the wind, that when the wind blows against the building, it leans and shifts. It will shift as much as 7.5 feet, or about the length of this carriage, in any direction at the top.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't move fast. You know, you don't get a whipping effect. It's just kind of like a lean, and when the wind pressure comes off, it kind of settles itself back upright, slowly. And mostly, if you're on the inside, you don't notice it unless you're very, very attuned to motion. However, the people on the outside on a windy day, you can see lots of people looking up at it with this puzzled look on their face. And you know what's going through their mind is, you know, that building's not as straight as I thought it was. It's outlined with argon tubing, 2.5 miles worth, give or take. And the building was originally supposed to be outlined with red argon tubing, green. But when they originally built it, and they filled the tubing with red argon gas, that would glow red when excited. And 3 days before the grand opening, they checked the system out to make sure everything worked. They discovered the system had a leak. They didn't have any more argon gas. They tracked down the leak, fixed it, and put in an order for argon gas. Well, what gives argon gas or argon tubing the color is the chemicals you mix in with the argon gas. And so the only thing they could get on short notice was green. And they put that in, and intending later, sometime after the grand opening, to switch it back to the architect specs for red. Well, sometime between the grand opening and later, someone pointed out the psychological impact of having a major Dallas bank outlined in red. It's been green ever since. You put up a building in this area, the West End. You have to put up a building that looks like it's always been here. This building here on my left is actually 110 years old. The old-looking factory building next to it is 30 years old. It was put up by Paramount Studios, and they were in it until they outgrew it and then moved elsewhere. But that building And there asleep, you can see over the trees. This is the old FBI building. Those three buildings are all less than 40 years old, but they all look like old factory buildings that have been here for
years.
They
all in love tonight. How y'all doing?
All right.
The building next to us on my right is the Palm Restaurant these days, one of Dallas' five-star restaurants. But the building started life as an ice house. And coming up here, you can see a deep indentation on the wall that used to be open, and that's where they shoved the blocks of ice out of the building and onto the back of wagons and trucks to be delivered around the city. If you actually go in to the Palm Restaurant, and by the way, they are five-star proud with their prices, you will see that the walls in that building are 3.5 feet thick, because that's the kind of insulation it took to keep the Texas heat off the ice so it would stay frozen. After all, they didn't have a refrigeration unit. It's stable mates over here. This area of Dallas was the place to shop up through the mid-50s. What happened in the mid-50s is the interstate highway system went in. Trucking became more of an industry. Businesses which were flush with cash tended to book it in my trucks and use that for their shipping. Well, when they were no longer needing the train, they began to notice how noisy and dirty it was, and they picked their businesses up and moved them away. The occupancy rate in this area in 1955 was like 95%. In 1960, it was 20%. In 1970, it was 5%.
Whoa.
And in 72, Spaghetti Warehouse put a restaurant in right here. When they originally put their restaurant in, they had the big hurricane fencing with the razor wire on top all the way around the restaurant and the parking lot. And they had an armed guard. It was such a wonderful place to visit. But they suck it out. And eventually Dallas got interested in renovating this area and got other businesses down here. And Dallas has done such a good job renovating the area that there are other cities that when they get ready to renovate their interior commercial zones, they come and check this area out. Of course, like most areas, it goes through upturns and downturns. But you'll notice it's still here and still supporting a good economic situation.
Yeah.
That's Market, and it's on Market. It's 2 blocks back.
Tell him I was.
Well, if he's going to pick up in Spaghetti Warehouse, you're going to have a hard time for him to find you at Tony Romo's.
Well, that was cool. I'm glad we got to take that tour.
Yeah, me too. I always love hearing about the history and the buildings.
I do too. I love hearing how towns get founded.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought Dallas was founded because the hills west of town where the settlers couldn't go any further west. Maybe that had something to do with it.
I don't know, maybe, because I'd always heard that was the only passable place on the Trinity.
Hmm.
Another interesting thing in Frisco, they have on Preston Road, apparently Preston Trail, which was a big, the cow trail going north and south.
Uh-huh.
And in Frisco, they have these bronze statues of cattle and of cowboys sitting around a campfire, and they have the native grasses all around them and everything, and
yeah,
they have plaques telling about the trails and stuff. It's very interesting.
Neat.
You know, last year when Shelley and I came to Arkansas, we went back on the back roads.
Oh, you know what? You mentioned that in your podcast.
Yeah, and we stopped and read a bunch of plaques about the Trail of Tears, and it was really neat. This is,
thank you.
We should end Blackpool Tech number. I'm not going to say what number this is because people get upset when I get the wrong number, and who knows what this will be. But you've been in Dallas with Karen, Julia, and I. And if you'd like to contact us, you may do so on our comment line at 206-984-9203. Email us with the address blindcooltech@gmail.com, or check us out on the web at blindcooltech.com. Thank y'all, and see you next time.
And just let us know how much you want Julia to sing.
Yeah.
Sing us a goodbye song, Julia.